Hello and welcome to the Buckets and Tea NBA show. I'm your host, Katherine Eicher. Thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode. Our music is brought to you by Tanika Charles, courtesy of Record Kicks. Her albums Soul Run and The Gumption are available now on all streaming platforms. Joining me this week is actor, comedian, and head of the Doug Ford is a Weenie Tumblr account, Matt McCready.
You've outed me in the first 20 seconds of the podcast. Yeah, Doug Ford is a Weenie Twitter account is blowing up. People say my language is a little harsh, a little bit too un-PC, but I say no PC language for the PC party.
This is a joke account that I made up for this intro, just in case anybody is trying to find it right now.
Oh, yeah. Put down your phones, everyone. Just keep those earbuds in.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist.
I said Tumblr just because I thought it'd be even funnier if it was a full on Tumblr account. Like it was just a collage.
Yeah. It's a Vine account.
Being a weenie. And then I just started to like reminisce on old like Tumblr pages that I used to really like.
I never got into Tumblr.
There was one and it was just like, it was like Tom Selleck mountains and sandwiches. And like every photo was Tom Selleck in a different nature scape with a different sandwich.
Amazing. So were they Photoshopped or was,
yeah,
or was
Tom yeah, it's Selleck? All, oh, no, okay. no. It's all Photoshop. Right. Yeah. And I was like, that's so funny. And then a friend of mine and I wanted to do like NBA jam face. And it was just like different NBA players with different jams. But then we couldn't agree on who came up with the idea. Like he swore he came up with the idea and I swore I came up with the idea. And then we just got kind of weird about it. Like, I don't know why we couldn't meet in the middle and create right. just the most epic Tumblr of all time. But anyway.
Wow, one of you, I don't know which one, but one of you is really hard to work with.
I think it's him. It's definitely
yeah, I think it's him too, because you've been nothing but polite to me. Aww, who do you think in the NBA would be the Boysenberry jam? Because I'm picturing maybe Kyrie, but I'm also open to other interpretations. If Cousins is in the league still, it might be Cousins.
Just because it has a ring to it, I thought of Boris Diaw.
Yeah, you're right. Boris Diaw is the right choice. Yeah. I love Boris Diaw. I love that he always talked about how much he loved baguettes, which is like, he sounds yes. like something that's like, you know, derogatory towards French people, which he is. He's a French citizen. But it's actually just something that he always talked about. I love Boris Diaw.
Was he the one that had the espresso in the locker room with the Spurs? Was it him?
I mean, everyone on the Spurs seemed like they would have an espresso maker in the locker room. So that, like any other team, it'd be like, that's Boris Diaw for sure. But on the Spurs, it could be Tony Parker. It could be Ginobili. Yeah, Pop could have
anyone.
One.
It could be
LaMarcus Aldridge even, you know.
Imagine I just made that up, but I could have sworn like back in those years, somebody had an espresso machine in the Spurs locker room. Anyway. Yeah. I don't see like DeMar DeRozan being like a big, like espresso guy, but I could be wrong. Like he is particular about his shoes and he has that whole collection.
He
has like over 600 shoes.
Really?
Yeah. He has.
So you're saying there's a correlation between loving shoes and hating espresso?
No. I'm saying maybe I'm wrong and maybe okay. he does love espresso because he does enjoy finer things.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So yes. At first I was like, no, I don't see DeMar DeRozan being an espresso guy. And then I thought, wait a second. He very easily could be an espresso guy.
Are you an espresso person yourself?
I am.
Big... Yeah.
Yeah. I bought a machine, like a proper like espresso machine about a year ago. And then I found it on sale at Canadian Tire. And then, so I got it for like $150. Like it's normally like a $300 machine.
Oh, really?
So I got like a really good deal on it. And then I named it Bertha.
Oh, is it big?
Because it gives me life. It's not too big. It's not very big, but okay, it has the proper, like, you know, espresso thing and the milk frother and the whole.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I'm not a big I don't even drink coffee or tea. I'm not a caffeine person at all. Yeah, I know it's not my proudest thing, but
you're just like a Zoa energy drinker, like Dwayne Johnson lover.
Is that what Dwayne Johnson drinks? Zoa?
Zoa. It's his own energy drink. He doesn't pay me.
I love The Rock, but I have to say his constant new products is a bit exhausting for me.
I agree. I love, oh, this is so off topic. I love Dwayne The Rock Johnson so much, but I find the last, I would say 6 months of his Instagram to be somewhat exhausting because everything he's just hacking a product now. And he always used to be that way. Like he'd maybe do that kind of promotion like once a week. And the rest of it was more just like, this is me in the gym and remember to get your grind on or whatever, like, you know,
totally.
And now it's just constant promo.
Oh man. Well, let's get back to the NBA because Dwayne The Rock Johnson does movies with Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart's always in the NBA All-Star game and our celebrity game. And now we're back.
We're back. And you know what? I have to admit, Matt, I was somewhat derailing just jumping off into our topics this week because it's kind of depressing, actually. Like the biggest news really in the NBA this week is all these injuries that we have to deal with. I hate when breaking news happens on a Monday, selfishly, because this podcast comes out every Monday. But Monday night, Jamal Murray tore his ACL. He's out for, there's, you know, ACL injuries, people are like, oh, hopefully 9 months, but realistically it's a year. And LaMarcus Aldridge had to retire this year. It's kind of suddenly and unexpectedly due to a heart problem. And then over the weekend, Kevin Durant has a thigh intrusion. Is that the word?
Contusion, I believe. Contusion.
I was like, it's not intrusion. That's my intuition. It's
inside his body. So that's probably where it came from.
Thanks for saving that for me. And then Donovan Mitchell suffered an ankle sprain and he is out. It just says for several games and he's out indefinitely. We don't know what several games means just yet. Just so many significant injuries to big players in the playoff picture. Let's start with LaMarcus Aldridge. Sure. So he retires. You and I were talking earlier about how this was just kind of very reminiscent of Chris Bosh. It was shocking. It was surprising. How did you feel when the news broke?
I felt bad for LaMarcus, but I also kind of felt good for him in a lot of ways as well. And that he has the money and security to just decide to quit playing. You know, it's not like he had been making minimums his whole life and was just finally getting to the NBA and something like this happened. And he had to make some horrible choice. He did what was good for himself and his family. And I'm sure, I mean, it blows for him. He gave up $6 million to go from the Spurs to the Nets. So that's, I mean, he has enough money that he'll never, ever probably need that money,
right?
But like, it's still, I guess, the principle of something like that. But yeah, I know, I felt kind of bad for him, but I felt okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a good point. Like, at least he did get to have somewhat of a lengthy career, even though it was cut short. Yeah, I was also kind of surprised because I was like, don't, like, when you move to another team, like, doesn't this come up in like a physical or something? Like, it was kind of surprising to me that it didn't come up sooner, but I guess, I don't know, he was hiding this or trying to play with this and sort of knew in the back of his mind that this was going on. But yeah, it is just super unfortunate. I don't think he moves the needle that significantly in terms of like the Nets' chances. But it is super unfortunate. I kind of, part of me wonders like, oh, I wonder if he's going to go back to acting because he did a few episodes of Portlandia.
Oh, I didn't see those ones.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. He's
go
like,
go back to acting.
Yeah, he could go back to acting.
Finally pursue his true love of acting. I mean, right? If I'm labeled as an actor coming onto this podcast, then for sure LaMarcus Aldridge is an actor as well.
He has an IMDb.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he's got a better credit than either me or you have, you know, if he's on Portlandia. I mean, I don't know you for sure, but like, that's a pretty
No, that's definitely a better credit than what I have. Yeah, they're really funny episodes. It's like, it's been a while since I've watched them, but it was like this whole like book club scene.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I assume this is like when he was playing for the Trailblazers.
Yeah, this is back when he was with the Trailblazers. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel kind of
like he needs to go full Hollywood.
Totally. I think like one thing that I kind of feel bad for LaMarcus is that it would be interesting to see him as a true role player on a great team. That's always sometimes like an interesting, like, you know, final chapter in a lot of people's career, like Gary Payton when he played for the Heat, when Shaq and Wade were on the team and he won a championship. That would have been a kind of nice little bookend for him. So it's unfortunate he didn't get a chance to do that.
Yeah, for sure. It is unfortunate. And I feel like, you know, it does remind me of the Chris Bosh situation. But I think with Chris Bosh, like, we all knew it was going on and he kept like kind of fighting to try and get himself back into the league, because he wasn't like out of the league, but he was trying to solve this issue with he had a blood clot issue and could never really get it resolved. So
yeah, it's tragic, really.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. Again, I'm trying to keep it light, but these are so depressing. And then Jamal Murray tearing his ACL. This sucks so much. Like, I was really rooting for Denver and hoping for Denver to be pretty significant in this year's playoffs. And I loved watching them in the bubble last year. And really, like, realistically, like, Jamal Murray's going to be out for a year and it's going to affect this year and next year. So it's like, really, you're kind of losing like two NBA seasons. But yeah. I think, like, best case scenario, he's back next year with a month of regular season basketball before the playoffs, because I think to be out for a year and then to throw a guy into the playoffs is like not great.
No, for sure. I mean, Murray's work ethic is legendary, you know. So and he's quite young. He's only I was looking this up, he's only 15 months older than Malachi, just because of like how young he came into the league. So I mean, ACL injuries are a lot easier to come back from when you're at that age, so hopefully he's able to do it. I mean, one of Murray's games last year, Basketball Reference has a stat called game score, which just kind of takes all the major stats and combines into one number. And his 50-point game last year is the 11th best playoff game in NBA history. So he obviously can turn it up pretty severely in the playoffs. So it really does suck for Denver, you know, as well. Like, it's just that I went from being like, once I kind of gave up on the Raptors this year, and spoiler alert, I did. Because I wasn't like, I don't love watching the team right now because I kind of want them to lose. So I like started cheering for Denver, and two games into it, Murray went out. So maybe I'm the problem. I really feel for him and his teammates because it's such a bummer.
Yeah, it is. And it's also a huge bummer for Team Canada because this is an Olympic year. And, you know, I think there was expectations that Canada can medal with an all NBA roster, but without Jamal Murray, who was clearly the star of that team, I don't know if we can realistically medal, but we'll see.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. I mean, Team Canada is a pretty deep team now with, all the Montreal boys going nuts, in that game yesterday against OKC.
That's right.
Lou Dort and all our friends.
Yeah, Lou Dort, Chris Boucher, and Clem Birch. Apparently, that's the first time three Montrealers were in an NBA game.
Oh, wow. Okay. That makes sense.
Canada.
I can't think of, like, really any other ones.
Basically, the least shocking stat I've ever given on this show. Yeah, and then Donovan Mitchell being out is really intriguing to me because it's an ankle sprain, so like that's good news for them that it's not like a tear or something more severe. But also, like, you know, I imagine they'll still be able to hold on to that one spot in the West with 14 games left. They could fall to second, but I don't think that's going to be super significant. But if he's out for longer, I don't know, like, if they would go past the first round without him.
Yeah. I mean, if they're in the first seed, they're playing the eighth seed. So it's the winner of those two games, right? Or like the loser of the first game. So they could be playing like the Spurs or something, you know, potentially. And I could see them like beating a team maybe without Mitchell in that case, because Gobert really eats up particularly bad teams. But yeah, I don't think they have a chance to make a dent at all without Mitchell. But I mean, it sounds like Mitchell's prognosis is pretty good. Like, it's just an ankle sprain. Like, I kind of expect to, there's no structural damage. I kind of expect him to be fine going into the playoffs, as fine as anyone can be in this season from hell where every team's playing four games in five nights multiple times.
Yeah, this is the season from hell. I think that they will sit out Donovan Mitchell for the remainder of the regular season because they're not going to just take any chances. Like, even if they're he's kind of ready, just like I think they'll take all precautions and sit him out. They're only two games above the Suns. The Suns have been on a pretty good streak lately, even though they lost their last game. But overall, they've been doing really well.
Yes,
and they're
they
actually
have.
Like the Clippers are not far behind them. So if the Jazz go on some sort of a losing streak, they could fall all the way to third in the West. And that would currently face them off against the Trailblazers. The Lakers are fifth. I have a feeling. Okay. So the Lakers and Nuggets are fourth and fifth. And I have a feeling the Lakers are going to do everything they can. I think there's going to be a lot of jockeying around for teams trying to face the Nuggets in the first round.
Wow, really? Eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, I think I'd rather play the Nuggets than the Trailblazers, even just because, yeah, because of Murray being out. Although, I don't know. I mean, Denver adding Gordon, I mean, they're still doing quite well.
Maybe they are. They've won their last two games.
I mean, Jokic is the MVP probably favorite at this point by sheer not getting injured. I think he's the only like top 10 candidate who hasn't missed a significant amount of time. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess we'll see. Maybe, you know, there's still 14 games left. He could still go down before then, but maybe you're right.
This is why we were talking about The Rock at the beginning of this podcast, because we're like, who knows? Maybe he could go down too.
Yeah, honestly. He came back in his last wrestling match. He tore his bicep or he tore his pec muscle, one or the other. Okay. Yeah, so you got to watch out, Rock. Nikola The Rock Jokic.
I feel like at this point, I almost need like theme music, like As the World Turns, or like some sort of soap opera-y theme music for like this week in like Kevin Durant. Like, it is just every week there is a soap opera. I mean, the NBA is a soap opera, but Kevin Durant is really like leading the way, aside from him being injured again with this thigh contusion. He also got into it with Shannon Sharp, and Shannon Sharp fake quoted Kevin Durant on his show. And the quote was, people try to disrespect my rings, but honestly, I feel like they're the most valuable of our era. People argue LeBron James is the GOAT, but if I beat him in back-to-back finals, then what does that make me? So Shannon said that Kevin Durant said that. And then Kevin Durant was like, I did not say that. And then they got into it on Twitter for a bit. And then Shannon blocked Kevin Durant, and then he screenshot that and then tweeted it like, but I'm sensitive.
What the hell? So I haven't heard the details of this, so this is kind of interesting to hear. I mean, Shannon Sharp sounds like a big loser in this situation. Did he think that Kevin Durant, like, where did he think Kevin Durant said this?
I
don't know. I feel like if you misquote someone, you take the L and you admit that you fucked up, you know?
Yeah.
I guess when you hang out with Skip Bayless for long enough, you lose all integrity and just become a weird zombie. I don't know. Seems like Durant, he courts controversy in his own way. You know, he goes after trolls. He doesn't shy away from it at the very least. But obviously, if someone's misquoted, you got to side with them in this situation. It sounds like Sharp's being an unprofessional boob.
I don't know what it is about Kevin Durant that he's able to get under other people's skin and vice versa all the time. Like, it's one of those things where like he's the real common denominator in all of this. Like, obviously Shannon Sharp is wrong for misquoting Durant, but it's like every week it's a thing. Every week it's a thing, and it's just like, I don't know, like, to me Kevin Durant is just classic, like, you don't have real friends.
Oh my God. Like, you don't think Kevin Durant doesn't have any friends?
Real friends.
Wow.
Like, he has a lot of friends, but he doesn't have real friends. Because real friends are like, yo, you might want to chill a bit. Or you might want to, like, stop being a troll so much. Like, this isn't good for you.
But maybe his friends are just, like, real friends, but they're just bad friends, you know? Maybe they're just like, you gotta go for it, Kevin. You can't put up with this. Or maybe you're probably right.
No, that's a nuance I hadn't thought of, that they're real friends and bad simultaneously.
I mean, I kind of relate to Kevin Durant for that reason. I feel like if I was in the public eye, I would be universally hated. I got into a big thing on Facebook yesterday with a friend of mine who posted that she was kind of upset over having to pay tax on CERB. And I was like, we don't have to work. Don't complain about CERB, you know? So yeah, like, we got into like a big thing over it. So I understand ruining your life and days for no good reason whatsoever over a Twitter or a social media beef. So I don't think he should be judged like too harshly for these things. But at the same time, it's also like, it's kind of funny to think about it.
Matt, do you have real friends?
No. I have only bad friends. I sent it to a group chat and they were like, ruin this friendship with this really nice person.
I like that you get a little this is not the best word, but a little snippy on the internet. It's like you get into it, but yeah. I feel like you're always coming from a pretty righteous place.
that's a double-edged sword, but
right,
sure.
it is. But I think Kevin Durant is always coming from a petty place.
Right. Yeah, it's a little Shaqian in that way, you know.
Yes. Yeah, more than, it's not like he's trying to have like righteous takes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember the Bill Simmons interviews that he did with Durant years ago. I always remember listening to those and thinking like, this isn't really an interview. This is more like somebody just massaging Kevin Durant's shoulders and like really asking the softest questions possible in order to get a second interview.
Were fascinating though. I remember those too, because he's on the podcast with Rich Kleiman, and
first of all, that's weird.
Yeah, you know? Super weird. And Rich Kleiman, so like, obviously,
it's like you're interviewing Andre the Giant with Bobby the Brain Heenan there, you know.
I don't know that reference, but I assume
let me tell you, one. Two people will like it. Sorry, go ahead.
No, just that it was so weird. It's like 3 hours of everyone just agreeing with everything Kevin Durant says. And it's just like, that guy really created like an echo chamber for himself.
Oh, totally. Yeah. That's, you know what? I'm with you 100%. He has no real friends. He just has a group of yes men. Breaking news. Kevin Durant has no friends.
This is why, you know, I love this podcast, because it's like I get like so many listeners a week, but it's not so much that the players are listening. And that is the sweet spot.
So you get to just say whatever you want.
I get to say whatever I want. I get to say, like, imagine if Kevin Durant heard me say that he doesn't have real
or
friends.
Anyone in the world. Everyone would relate to someone saying you have no friends. This is low-key the biggest bullying Kevin Durant has received. And it's
fine. He would go after me. He would absolutely go after me. And it wouldn't be fun because he's not like a real roaster. Like, he's not like a good like comedian like roasting me. Like, it would be funny. Like, he would just go after me in a really harsh way. So,
oh yeah, he'd go after you like a boss would like go after an employee, you know, in his office. That would just be, it'd be ugly and mean.
Yeah, I mean, I've been rewatching Mad Men lately, and it's very that.
What season are you on?
I'm in the middle of season 2.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But I've watched it many times before. Like, this is a rewatch.
Yeah, my dad worked in marketing his whole life and was born in 1948. So it took me a while to convince him to watch Mad Men, but when he did, oh baby, it was his favorite show of all time.
You find it super relatable?
I think so. I think like there's some things that they obviously glorify. I remember watching the first few seasons and being like, how is everyone not just slam drunk all the time, you know, with how much they drank, but they address that later on in the show. And yeah, definitely a classic series.
Yeah. With that.
No segue whatsoever. Another mad man in the NBA these days.
This is a very fun, very messy episode. I want to ask you, as far as the playoff picture goes so far, this is something I've started asking all my guests, is who are you rooting for?
Oh, who am I rooting for? Well, Denver's got that underdog thing going for them now. It'd be really cool if they got a lot of success. I hate their owner, but I kind of love Phoenix. I really like watching Chris Paul. I love their team construction. It makes a lot of sense. Might be a little better if they had Luka Doncic in there instead of Aiden, but still very cool. And in the East, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm kind of cheering for Brooklyn a little bit.
Yeah, just because you want to watch the world burn, or
I don't know if it's that dramatic, but yeah, maybe. I don't mind watching. We haven't seen them play together yet, you know. So I assume that if they're all healthy enough, and that's a big assumption with Kevin Durant's thigh intrusion, that they might not be able to get all the way there, you know, like and I just want to see what it looks like at the highest level. I want to see if they just annihilate the league. It might be a fun story to watch in this season of death. I just want the playoffs to come, because I am so sick of this regular season where half the league is injured, a third of the league is tanking, and the last 17% are like playing their fourth game in 5 nights. It's like every team is bad right now. I just want it over.
I'm 1,000% with you on that.
I jumped all over there.
I love it. That's what that question is for. Like I keep saying, like I'm just waiting for the Utah Jazz to win this championship and then have everyone tell them it doesn't count because Kevin Durant is injured. That's what I'm waiting for, because it happened to the Raptors, and if the Jazz win, it'll happen to them.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I just want the Jazz fans to suffer. They've had it too good for too long. low key, one of the worst fan bases in the league. So I actually wouldn't mind that too much. But I mean, if any season is going to have an asterisk next to the playoff winner, it's like this one in 1999, when the Spurs won as well.
Right. I mean, I don't think it will, but you know, people like to play that asterisk game based on, like, I feel people like to play that game based on whether it was their team that won it or didn't win. Yeah. Right. Like to me, I'm kind of like, you know what? It takes a bit of luck to win a championship any year, and you could put that asterisk next to anybody if you tried hard enough. So I'm very like, not about that. I'm more just like, whatever, if you win, you win. Circumstances are just what they are. I'm really excited for the Western Conference playoffs. Not as excited as I was when Jamal Murray was still a part of the picture, but I'm just really excited to see the Phoenix Suns, to watch the Portland Trail Blazers. Like, I want to see these teams really make some noise. I don't know if I'll watch the Clippers. I haven't watched a Clippers game all season.
Do you dislike the Clippers?
I do dislike the Clippers.
I kind of like the Clippers.
Why?
I think that they've taken so much heat and everyone hates them so much that I'm kind of like, maybe my dream is a Brooklyn Clippers final. Does that make me?
Oh my God.
Like, if it's the Clippers going up against Dallas, nightmare. I'm going to cheer for the Clippers for sure.
God, I don't think I would.
Yeah.
Even though I love Serge Ibaka, but he's the only one that I really love still on that team. I'm very indifferent to Kawhi.
Indifferent is a very, very unusual opinion for a Torontonian to have towards Kawhi.
That's so true.
Like, what makes your thoughts indifferent? Are you so happy about what he brought to the city and to your fandom that it's equaled out your distaste for him leaving or him as a person? I'm just curious.
I wouldn't put myself there. I just feel like, I don't know, like when he left, it was fine because you're like, well, he's not obligated to stay, but I do think if he stayed, we would have repeated. Like, I very much think the Raptors would have been repeat champions.
They would have had as good a shot as anybody.
Yeah. Like, I just think we get through that Boston series. I think we would
no problem.
Miami or the Bucks. Like, we're definitely in that finals. And I think Gasol and Ibaka would have had a very solid defensive effort on Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. And I think from an offensive perspective and a defensive perspective, Kawhi and LeBron would go toe to toe. And then I think the rest of our depth is stronger than theirs.
I can't disagree more with Marc Gasol could guard Anthony Davis. Gasol was getting worked by Jared Allen and Time Lord during those series. I think Davis would have had a field day on Gasol.
Okay, I'm gonna let that be a fair opinion.
You know, fair enough.
I'm not going to disagree. I think the issue with Gasol last year was that there was, he's good, but he's so limited in what he can do that if you ask him to do anything outside of that, it's a disaster. Like, that's just where he's at in his career. And I think
he's just kind of washed a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I think like in that championship season, he was okay to be so limited because we had enough of a supporting cast around him to make up for everything else. Whereas like in the following run it back year, we didn't have that. So it was like, okay, Gasol, we need you to score like 10 points a game. And he's just like, what?
There's no way.
So I think if we had that championship squad and he just had to focus on defense and literally nothing else, and he didn't even have to look at the basket, then he would have been able to put up a better defensive effort. I mean, he guarded Embiid really well.
He did.
So I'm kind of basing it on that.
Right. I think like we're going way off topic here, but I think the Raptors guarding the Lakers is such a tough thing for what Nick Nurse likes to do, and that he likes to overload a ton on one player and kind of let everyone else beat the team. It was his kind of role again. It's kind of his thing against Embiid and his thing against Giannis as well. Whereas if you did that to either LeBron or AD, I feel like the other one kills you. Particularly if you did it to AD, because if you have LeBron going up against,
well, we had very good regular season wins against the Lakers last year. Both games we won.
That's true. Yeah.
So I see your point about Nick Nurse, but somehow they countered that, and I don't have the memories to tell you exactly how
Boucher
that happened.
Had a huge game against that. I remember that.
Oh yeah, that was Boucher's first big game.
Yeah, that Lakers game was one of the best games of the season. You know who else had a huge game that game? Rondé Hollis-Jefferson. He was hitting step-back, fadeaway, mid-range jumpers. And you know what? If we could have done that in the playoffs, we would beat the Lakers.
There we go.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
There we go. To end this tangent, my feelings about Kawhi are that he doesn't owe us anything, but I don't believe this whole like, oh, I wanted to go back home thing. I think he just like had his mind made up before he ever came to Toronto, did this whole flex, and I don't know if it's going to work out, and it's just kind of a shame. So that's why I feel kind of indifferent towards Kawhi.
Hey, fair enough. I've always been of the mindset that if I was an NBA player and I have to choose where to spend my winters, I would probably want to live in Florida or Los Angeles. You know, like I like nice weather. If it was a baseball season, I'd be like, I'll live in Toronto for sure. The summers are great. I'm kind of, what are your thoughts on Carter? Were you a fan in those days?
Or Vince Carter?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he broke my heart, and then I didn't care for him for like 10 years.
Okay.
And then I think I kind of forgave him when the Raptors fan base sort of collectively kind of forgave him.
I've always been like huge on Carter. I've always loved Carter. I've written many a self-righteous Facebook post about how much I adore Vince Carter, much to the chagrin of many of my actual
friends.
You're like,
you got to retire the jersey, all of that. You're pro all of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would. Do you think there should be a Carter statue? Like, how far does this go?
Why not? I love statues. Like, you know what statue is out front of the Sky Dome? Ted Rogers. I think we can do better. The bar for statue is in the toilet. Yeah. Yeah. Put up a Vince Carter statue.
This is amazing. We went so far off the rails here and I don't even care. I agree with you in that the bar for statues is actually super low. And I think people don't realize that, like, especially here. Like, I don't think the bar for statues is low in like Los Angeles, for example. Like,
no, it's very high.
It's very high, or like Chicago, but here the bar is really low. And yeah, why not just be obnoxious and just have like so many statues?
Yeah, be awesome. Have like 15 statues out front. Have Amir Johnson have his own statue.
I was going to say, you know what? If you had 15 Raptor statues, there would be an obvious snub like that. Like, now you have so many that somebody's going to get snubbed, and then it becomes an issue.
Oh yeah, no, it's oh yeah, people love talking points, and the 15 greatest Raptors is such a weird bar to make. Like, you'd be like, Jose Calderon has to have a statue. And what would it even be? Making like a bounce pass? It'd be the boringest statue of all time.
I mean, what's an Oakley statue?
Oh, a pick. It would be on the sidewalk and people would run into it all the time and fall over. Like, you put it in a place where people would hit it constantly. It's the most dangerous statue in the world.
Oh my God. That's all right. Normally, Matt, this is where we segue into our Raptors Homer moment, but we are well into that segment.
Hell yeah. You know what was great about Oakley, an underrated thing about him, is that he threw the worst alley-oop passes. And so Carter had to grab them at the weirdest angles and throw them down. Like, there's ones where he caught behind them at like his hip and threw it in. It's just like these terrible passes that just turn into all-time slams. Thank you, Oakley. Thank you.
Well, now that we have our Oakley tribute, let's talk about some current Raptors. Yeah. We've got a lot of newbies kind of killing it right now. Freddie Gillespie, who I joked sounds like a baseball player from 100 years ago, has signed another 10-day contract, doing well, fitting in. Utah just signed a contract this morning. I guess I didn't read the details, but he's got like a proper NBA contract now. Are you the kind of Raptors fan that gets like super excited about like these new players and just like, obviously I'm throwing my bias in as I ask this question, but like, I think the Raptors do a really good job kind of engaging their fan base and keeping things positive and just giving us things to just like cling on to, like, hey, like Freddie Gillespie has another 10-day contract. Like, this is something to be really excited about, Raptors fans. And like,
the bar is low compared to what we went into the season.
And I just,
it's reflected in the commentary too. Like, at the beginning of the year, they were so negative, Jack and Devlin, mm-hmm. and now they're so positive about everything because they know they have to be.
Yeah. And I completely agree. Like, cause even like they were kind of shitting on Aaron Baines. Like, it wasn't even us.
Oh, and just Siakam like crazy. Like, yeah. Jack hates Siakam.
You think Jack Armstrong hates Siakam?
Okay. No. But I do think that he's like, there would be games where he would just be going so hard on Siakam, but then just be like, ah, look at Baines. What a nice screen, you know? So I just felt like there were different, bars that people had to cross.
That's all. Yeah, well, Siakam's, you know, he's had a really tough year. I'll say this, totally. Like, I think, like, you know, the Raptors are doing a good job keeping us enthusiastic. We're 10th in the East currently. We could very well make it into this whole play-in situation after all. For me, it's like, I can kind of get excited about this stuff, but really, realistically, I still have long-term concerns for this team.
Yeah, me too. I don't think Freddie Gillespie is going to be holding up the trophy on the bus as it goes down a packed street, you know? I don't see that one happening.
Nobody can see my face, but I just made the craziest face. Yeah, I just, it's like, I don't know. Like, some fans are just really good at drinking the Kool-Aid, and I'm not so much. Like, I have a lot of long-term concerns for this team. You know, I've dabbled back and forth into whether or not I want to make a push for the playoffs, like, throughout the season. But over the last week, I've been pretty firm into let's not do this play-in thing. Like, let's try and get a good draft pick. I don't follow the draft. You, Matt, told me you follow the draft pretty well.
Oh, like I'm a maniac. Like a loser.
I'm not like a loser, but I've heard that this draft is actually really good. Like, I just feel like it would be worth it to be like, I don't know, this, let's just write off this season. And like, I saw a funny quote online where somebody was like, Nick Nurse has stopped playing Aaron Baines, which means somehow he still thinks he contributed to winning.
Yeah, I wrote
like where
that,
we're
yeah.
supposed to be tanking, which means now is the time to play Aaron Baines.
Totally. They should play playing Aaron Baines at point, you know, like I mean, Mark Madsen madness, you know.
The Raptors got fined this week for not disclosing injuries or for resting players.
I think it's for basically verbiage and how they sent out their press release over who was going to be playing or not.
Right. Like, and but the fine is such a joke. Like, when they get fined $25,000, to them, that's $25.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they're so rich. Like, that is a nothing fine. It is so stupid. Who cares? I don't know.
Totally. I mean, I'm with you though. Like, I'm into the draft pick thing. Cause the thing is about this draft that makes it so exciting and so terrifying at the same time is that like, it doesn't have like a Zion type of guy, but it's got like five potential Ja Morant type of guys, you know? And so like, if you went in the lottery's for the top four picks. So if you get in that lottery, like you're great. But then there's just like this huge fall off after five. Like, the number six guy is like, well, he passes really well, but he's got a weird body and he can't shoot. So it's just a huge tail off after five. So you got to hope that you make that top four. And if not, you got to hope you strike gold.
Right. Well, that's interesting. I mean, I feel like I'm pretty confident in the Raptors' ability to draft well. Like, they've historically have and continue to draft very well. So if we, and I imagine we would have a pick below the top five, like whether we make this play-in or not, like I don't see us getting a top five pick. Like, that the odds of that are pretty low.
Well, I think like if we were like two games worse, the odds would be like 39%. As they are now, I think it's like 26%. So it's not like insignificant.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, it's not good.
So, but yeah. are you pro, let's not get into the playoffs this year? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. I think like, I feel so good about that championship. I don't really give a shit about a playoff or a play-in type of game to just get spanked by the Nets. I'm not like super hot on that. I've seen the Raptors lose in four in the playoffs before. It's awful. Like, I'll spend my night watching this game where they get destroyed. Not a fun way to do it. And I think like, yeah, I'm worried about like, you know, Freddie Gillespie and Utah being like our things to add a potential game changing long-term piece. I love long-term prospects. I love growing with somebody who could be like, even like the next, like Zach LaVine type of player. Who like Jalen Green, you know, I love that type of narrative. I love that type of story. And when your team isn't doing that great, I'd love for there to be more of those types of guys. I mean, the youngest player on the team is Gary Trent Jr. Like, it's nuts.
Is he the youngest on the team?
I think he is. Yeah.
He's like, younger than Malachi?
Yeah.
Really?
I think so. Yeah. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. Trent's great. I like Trent.
Yeah, we all love Trent. We all love Trent a little too hard, honestly.
Yeah, like, we do. Yeah.
People, it's just like the thing that bothers me the most about the Raptors fan base is we just like reek of desperation all the time. And it really
it's desperate times though.
But we're always desperate. Like even when we won an NBA championship, people were just like oozing of desperation everywhere. Like, yeah. I don't know, like even when we like when we lost that game five, I don't know, like the feeling in the air was just so high anxiety. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't
yeah, I mean,
fun.
It's a lot of, disappointment over all the years, you know, and so it just bleeds into these types of things. You would assume that after the championship, we'd kind of calm down a little bit. But really, we only had about 4 months before Kawhi broke our hearts again.
Four weeks.
Was it that soon?
No, it was only weeks.
Well, you know, there were good weeks.
That's what we have is 4 good weeks.
4 great weeks as a Raptor fan where you feel good about the world. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. We'll see where they go. I kind of hope that they get a pick just because I love the idea of contending for a championship and I don't see it happening otherwise. I mean, Gary Trent Jr. is like, very fun, but I mean, if you want like an honest scouting report, like he doesn't get to the rim really. He's a great jump shooter. We talk about him being like an amazing 3-and-D player, but if you listen to people in Portland, they're like, finally, we have somebody who can guard in Norm Powell. We don't have to deal with Gary Trent Jr. anymore. It's like the same, the respective fan bases have the same scouting report for each player. Once they switch sides, they're incredibly similar. Norm's having a better year, but Gary's a lot younger. I don't think it's a bad trade, but I also don't think like now that we have Gary Trent, everything's solved, you know?
No, gosh, no. Yeah, I think there's another thing I wanted to get into before we go on yet another tangent that spawned off our previous tangent, which
was about the Ted Rogers statue.
Yeah, I have a whole segment
dedicated to holding a briefcase statue.
I have an entire segment dedicated to that statue. No, this is about Fred VanVleet, and this is a real quote, not a fake quote. According to Josh Lewenberg's Twitter. So, you know, who to go after if it's not a real quote. But Fred VanVleet said, quote, "To be honest, this is probably the most unpure year of basketball I've ever been a part of, just from the whole league and rushing the season back. It's pretty much all about business this year on every level. It's hard to hide it now." He also went on to say, quote, "The NBA is a great balance of the pure love and joy of one of the best sports in the world mixed with a $1 billion industry. And I think this year the industry side is taking precedent over some of the love and the joy. But there are good days and there are bad days." He went on to say, "We did vote on what season we wanted. They gave a few options and most of the players picked this option. So we're in it, which is why I can't complain about it. But I can point out that this is what, and sorry, but I can point out that this is what is and the pros and cons that come with that. It's very conflicting."
What a great quote. Like, honestly, it's very well said.
Yeah, it is very well said. And I kind of love how Fred really kind of keeps it real. Like even in the bubble, like he and Norm kind of spoke about how hard it is to do this in the face of everything that was going on in the world, like a day before the strike happened. He's not afraid to say what's on his mind. And when he does it in a way that I think, like you said, is very well said. How do you feel about his comments?
100% agree. Like, I think we've kind of touched on this throughout the episode. You know, it's been an ongoing theme throughout the whole thing. It's like the season is more about surviving than like actually playing basketball games. Yeah, it's disappointing. I think it's hurt my fandom to a small degree. I don't really enjoy the games as much. I would be a big fan of the NBA adopting an NFL type of model and having like 1 or 2 games a week so you can get excited for the game, think about the game, debate the game before it happens instead of being like, who are the Raptors playing tonight? I don't know. Even amongst,
or
like,
the Raptors are playing against the Orlando Magic again.
Yeah, again, yeah. I don't know. So Yeah, I mean, he's right. He's 100% right. The cynic can say, oh, Fred's only saying that because the Raptors are having easily the worst year of his career. It's been like a trying year. But how can you not, how could he think anything differently with how this year has gone? He's like, they all had to move to Florida with like a week and a half's notice. They had to do all this, like, they're living down there. Like, there's just... It's been an awful year for everyone.
Yeah, it's 72 you know? Road games essentially. Yeah, I agree. And I mean, I would almost take it like a step further in that, yes, they voted for this. And you know, this opinion is somewhat in hindsight, and that is, was ruining your product over several months really worth it?
Totally.
And I think that's a real question the NBA has to ask itself. Like, they were so desperate to make up for any losses that they had last year and, you know, well, and still continue to have because we don't have full stadiums and that sort of thing. But really, like, was it worth it? Because I feel the NBA has done some long-term damage to the game. Like, yeah. Think about all the injuries we have. All these games in such a short period of time, and they're trying to play it off like, oh, there's not more injuries this year than there were any other year. But I mean, we're seeing it, and I don't think it takes a scientist to say that many games in such a short period of time is healthy. I mean, Fred's right, like, they voted for this, so there's some personal accountability to that as well. But I think they need to ask themselves, you know, some very tough questions in the off season. Was this really worth it?
I mean, hopefully something like this doesn't happen again.
You know, I mean, obviously, like, we're not living through a pandemic and all of that ever again, but I think they have to really consider like spreading out these games more, having fewer games per season and not having back-to-back situations going forward, because it's bad for the league. Like, it's bad for everyone. It's bad for the league. The only thing it's good for are whatever television ratings are left. But really, but the games aren't as good.
Totally. And I mean, is it good for the ratings as well? I mean, look at the NFL. They play 17 games a season and they get the biggest TV contracts imaginable because every game is special.
Yeah, and they're a more profitable league.
Totally. Yeah, it's not even close.
I have two really fun things to wrap up our episode with today. And that is, one's on a bit of a personal note here. After over a year of being in this pandemic, I finally, Matt, became a troll. And I know that it was only earlier in this episode that I have criticized Kevin Durant for being a troll and saying he doesn't have any real friends. Well, I have a few real friends, but they are not nearby. And, you know, like, we're not close. We're not hanging out. We're not seeing each other IRL. And I became a troll. And so Alex,
ask me a riddle, you troll.
I will tell you what I did. Alex Wong and William Liu of Yahoo Sports do a YouTube kind of podcast together. And Alex Wong on his Twitter said, we're doing a segment on unpopular Raptors takes. And I said that the Gasol Valanciunas trade was a mistake.
Oh, and I agree.
Boy, did that get a lot of attention. That got so much attention. Alex Wong and William Liu went in. They didn't even say my name. They protected my identity. They said whoever this person is doesn't understand defense, doesn't understand the concept.
Get off your high horse,
but then people in the comments were like, I agree, that trade was a mistake.
Yeah.
Feel like we were destined to win that.
Occasionally
year.
Are right, and they are in this situation. Sorry, yeah. Go on.
No, they were right at that point. Some people were disagreeing, but like, it created this very heated debate. And I just think the Raptors were destined to win that year. And I do think we could have won with Valanciunas, but I only say that looking back at it. I don't know if I felt that way at the time. Like, at the time, I thought this was a really good trade, but now I'm looking at Valanciunas. I think he got 16 double doubles straight.
Yeah.
And he's doing so well in Memphis that it's kind of, and now we don't have anything for him. So it's kind of hard to watch for me.
The Raptors, when they had Valanciunas, because Valanciunas missed like a few months that year. When the Raptors had Valanciunas, they were basically unbeatable. Like their record was spotless. And you know who they shut down in Valanciunas's last game as a Raptor? Joel Embiid, with Valanciunas guarding him. So
that
I don't know.
To my take.
I'm all with you. I'm 100% with you. The reason why Gasol looked so good when he came in is because he was replacing Greg Monroe. Because that's who they had as their third string center, who was absolutely unplayable. So once Gasol came in, everyone was like, oh, wow, this is so much better than Greg Monroe, one of the worst players in the entire league. Team Valanciunas over Gasol.
Love this. It turns out I'm not a troll and I have real friends after all.
I'm your real friend. Make some mistakes. I'm your new real bad friend.
I love it. And now that brings us to the return of the Hot Girl Summer Nick Nurse highlight of the week. Now, this segment has been through a lot this year because there hasn't been a Hot Girl moment every week like there used to be. But no, today,
Nick's looked rough sometimes.
He has looked, I have really roasted Nick Nurse on his looks on this podcast throughout the season. I've said he looks like an old-timey cat burglar. I've said he looks like an extra in The Departed. I've said he looks like he got roughed up by Mark Wahlberg. Like
sometimes he looks like those things that Frodo sees in the bog in Lord of the Rings.
It's just like, how did you go from like haughty professor to this so fast?
I don't know, man.
I think it's just
the pandemic's been rough on a lot of people.
I think it's just he starts a lot of the games with wet hair for some reason. That doesn't help. Like I'm the only person that notices these things, but his hair slowly dries as the game goes.
Yeah, he looks like present day Ric Flair sometimes.
And then it's just like, and then he's always wearing these track suits where like before, like his hair was always like done well, like as nice as it can be. And then wearing like a nice suit and stuff and, a nice crisp blazer with some character in it.
Totally.
But now anyway, but the Nick Nurse moment is back. And that is because today his foundation just released new merch, which is in collaboration with Dr. J.
Whoa, really?
And so Dr. J is on the board of the Nick Nurse Foundation.
Does Dr. J give a shit about this?
Neither of them give a shit about this. Let's be real. I'm the only one who cares. But they're really cool shirts, and I'm like, oh, he's still has some style somewhere deep down inside Nick Nurse is some style. And I need to see this come back. I need him to come back to Toronto. I need him to come back to his closet.
His closet that's now just filled with like sweatshirts that look like garbage bags.
Yeah, like that's like Florida Nick Nurse is not a haughty Nick Nurse, but Toronto Nick Nurse is. So he needs to come back to Toronto. But I thought I would say that because whenever there is a Hot Girl Summer highlight, I gotta share.
It's a great segment and I'm a fan of it and I'm glad that it's back.
Thank you so much. Matt, this has been such a great time. Many tangents, but I loved every minute of it. Where can we find you on the internet?
Okay, you can find me at Elon Musk at twitter.com. just type that into your browser or just scream it into the air. I talk about the future. I'm really into space exploration. Sometimes I just throw out things that make me seem like an everyday guy, even though my dad married my sister. There's just a lot of good stuff out there. And I really want everyone to just enjoy me on Twitter.
I should see if Elon Musk would actually be on this podcast.
Yeah, you should.
Maybe he is just dying to talk about basketball.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, he seems more like he doesn't seem cool enough. That would be my thought on Elon Musk. Are you a big Elon Musk fan?
No,
I didn't think so.
But I'm not like against him. I don't know. I'm pretty indifferent to him as well. They named their kid after a number, like a code.
Yeah.
But that kid's never going to have a quote unquote normal life anyway.
Oh, who knows, right?
My kid's like a trillionaire.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I would do with $1 million, let alone like $1 billion, you know? I know what I do with $1 million.
That's why we're not Elon Musk. But anyway, Matt, thank you so much for joining me, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
We're getting any younger. Not that you can tell. But if you ever took the time to wonder how we